Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. I'm your host, Wayne Bibbs. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. In this podcast, we examine all the things that we allow to interfere with our pursuit of our dreams and the indulgence in our passions. Procrastination, fear of trying something new, the belief that we may not be good enough, ridicule from our families, friends, and even strangers, and all the other toxic habits and attitudes that get in our way. And we all have things that we must do on a day-to-day basis, but we often forget that we can make room in our lives for the things that we enjoy. Your life is more than just a collection of your responsibilities, and in this podcast, we strive to remind you of that. A friend of mine recently lost his mother, so he and I went to lunch at one of her favorite places in celebration of her life. While we were talking about her, one of the things that he said was that mothers are the first woman boys ever fall in love with. I never thought of it that way before, but yeah, I can see that being the case. Because I certainly remember when I was very young, I saw dandelions in my front yard and I thought they were flowers. And I picked a handful of them and I bounced on into the house to give them to my mother. "Mama, I brought you some flowers." And my mother worked up a smile, as only mothers can, thanked me, and she kissed my cheek. And I bounced back out of the house proud that I had made my mother smile. I was about 3 years old or so I didn't realize that dandelions were just colorful weeds or that it's a bad sign when the color drains out of someone's face. But she made me feel like I made her day. Now, the second woman I fell in love with made out a little bit better in the gift department, but only because I had learned a few more things by then. But, you know, I still had a couple mishaps, a couple stumbles along the way. I was really into basketball and bowling, just like I am now. And she complained that I was spending too much time either watching or playing those games and not enough time with her. So I came up with this ingenious plan to combine my hobbies and my love life. For her birthday, I gifted her with a pretty teal bowling ball with a matching ball bag and matching bowling shoes. Yes, I did. Before she could catch herself, she shot me a look like I was a cat, proclaiming my love for my human with a mouse I had caught and killed just for her. She composed herself pretty quickly, thanked me, and tried very hard to look like she was listening when I explained that bowling didn't have to come between us anymore, since she could now go bowling with me. She held up her hands with her palms facing her so as to show me her nails, which were perfectly manicured and clear-coated. And then it dawned on me. This is not the kind of gift she had in mind. I later graduated to giving albums and sweets and real flowers and stuff like that. And she seemed fairly well pleased with it, so I counted those times as successes. When you begin a relationship, you start the lifelong process of learning about your mate. And it was interesting to see what the warden thought a good gift for me would be. One of the first things she gave me was something that she'd picked out after hours of shopping. Actually, it was more like hunting for just the right gift. She had it professionally wrapped after obsessing over the right wrapping paper and I kid you not, picking the right person to wrap the gift. And she presented this gift to me in anticipation of my delight. It was the look was just splashed all over her face. She was ready for the explosion of happiness. It really was a beautifully wrapped gift. It was like the kind where you wish you could extract the gift without damaging the present. I was young, but I wasn't stupid. I gently opened one end of the package and I slid the box out of its masterfully wrapped sheath, and I opened the box. Inside it was a necktie by some famous designer that I had never heard of and whose name I've forgotten, so I don't even know if I've heard it since then. I could see that it was a really high quality tie, though, and I was excited about it. And I was appropriately appreciative of the gift, or so I thought. Apparently, I wasn't sufficiently impressed by the designer's name, because I didn't just blurt out, "Oh my God, it's a Guillaume," or, you know, whatever old dude's name was. She seemed a little bit disappointed, almost hurt by that. But I explained to her that I had no idea who this guy was. And even if I did, this gift was special to me because of the woman who gave it to me, not the guy who made it or the name he stamped on it. I probably wore that tie more than any other, and I made sure that everyone knew that my girlfriend had given it to me. I still have it. Over the years, the warden has given me some very nice gifts. And while some of them would not have been on my wish list, some of them were absolute bullseyes. For one birthday, knowing my love of bowling, she decided to get me a bowling ball. She went online and found bowling ball companies and talked to ball reps about what kind of ball to buy for me. They asked her all the requisite questions, like, does he throw a big hook, which would make me a cranker? Or does he throw more of a down and in shot, which would make me a stroker? What are the house conditions like where he bowls? Is there heavy oil, medium, light? Do they use synthetic or wood lanes? And all she could tell them is that, cosmetically speaking, I'm a winter and my eyes are brown. After weeks of pretending to care about bowling so she could ask me questions and then share those answers with some exasperated but very, very patient ball reps, they made some recommendations, and the warden bought me a bowling ball. When she gave me that ball, she got the reaction she was looking for with the tie. We hugged and hugged, and then I put the ball down, and I started hugging and kissing the warden. I thanked her profusely, and then I went out to have the ball drilled. I used it later that night in a tournament and won money with it. I was ecstatic. And yeah, I still have that ball. The reason that I'm talking about gifts so much is to offer a few reminders. Usually, when someone gives you a gift, a lot of thought goes into the selection of that gift, especially if you and the giver are close. First reminder, all the hard work is done by the person giving the gift, who has to decide what to get for you, find the correct type or style or size or any other particulars, either go to pick it up or to order it in time for it to arrive before the occasion, wrap it and present it to you. All you have to do is open it up and use it. The second reminder, making use of a gift is a way to show appreciation for what you were given. I know we all have a drawer or attic or pit in a backyard somewhere that's full of gifts that someone has given us that we don't like or can't use. Or maybe we even simply re-gift it to someone else. But the absolute last thing we want is for the person who gave it to us to know that we gave or threw the gift away. Third reminder. Everyone was given gifts or talents, if you prefer, but not necessarily by the people in our lives. As I've mentioned many times before, I believe in God and I consider him to be the source of my gifts, such as they are. But even if you don't believe in God, someone or something has stuffed us all full of gifts, and it is incumbent upon us to discover and use these talents. Don't let them just sit in that drawer or that pit out back. Pull them out and use them. The catch of humanity is that we're not always aware of every gift, every talent we have. So we have to try things to find out exactly what we've been given. This is a great example of not knowing your own strength, and you cannot strengthen or even use a muscle you never bother to flex. So start flexing. Step outside of your norm and find out how strong you really are. Sometimes the gift is not a specific ability, but a person who helps you dust off and develop and encourage the use of the gifts that you were already aware of. My wife is one such gift. The mother of the friend that I mentioned at the beginning is another. And as with all gifts, the key is recognizing them for the benefit they provide and utilizing them. In fact, a friend of mine is going to come on the show in the near future and talk about this a bit more. And as a matter of fact, today is her birthday. So please join me in wishing my friend Sandy Clifton a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sandy. And we'll be right back.
Are you enjoying the Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes podcast with Wayne Bibbs? Have you given more thought to your own experiences and not following your dreams? Who and what you let stand in your way, and what you can do to rid yourself of that toxic behavior? Now you can support Wayne's efforts to create more free content to reach more people. Please consider a monthly donation in support of the podcast so that we can continue to offer you stories from Wayne and his guests to encourage you to embrace and follow your dreams, as long as those dreams don't involve any sort of harm to yourself or anyone else. You can subscribe to the podcast on several platforms, and you can follow The Virulent News on Twitter, now X, and Instagram. The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. We thank you for your support.
And we're back. I want to share just one more thing before I close out this episode. One of my favorite quotes comes from one of my favorite movies of all time, having seen the movie well over 300 times. In Superman the movie, Lex Luthor, as played by Gene Hackman, delivers this line: "Some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's a simple adventure story, while others can read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe." The fact that this quote provided so much insight for me seems to prove its case. I take this to mean that information and inspiration can come from virtually any source, even those that you deem inconsequential. For example, I saw a clip of Denzel Washington addressing the audience of an award show. Now, let's be clear. I would never, even for a moment, consider Denzel to be inconsequential. But I doubt that most people would look to an acceptance speech for inspiration. But there it was. He said that if their craft were easy, there would be no Kerry Washington, no Taraji P. Henson, no Russell Hornsby, or other Hollywood luminaries, including Denzel himself. But then he said this: "Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. If you do not push yourself, you cannot advance." Said another way, don't walk up to the base of a mountain if all you're going to do is stare at the top. Either climb the thing or go home and look at pictures of it. I don't know if anyone else has stated it just that way, so I'm going to claim it. Wayne Bibbs, May 29th, 2024. It's mine. Doing this show is a mountain that I've climbed more than 30 times, with more times to come. And you may think of me as little more than a chewing gum wrapper, but if I can help you unlock the secrets of your universe, I will be happy. That's going to do it for this episode of The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. We'll talk more in the near future, but until then, take care.